couple weeks ago, Pastor Josh brought a sermon on discernment, and he had two circles. He had circles of responsibility. The big circle was God's overall responsibility, and then within that circle was a small circle which represented each of us and our individual responsibility. So God has a responsibility intended for each of us, and one of those things Josh did mention, he said, anything that God tells you to do in the Bible falls within your little circle of responsibility. So here we go. Oh, now, these are verses that and scripture that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. This is nothing new. This is not deep theology this morning. This is just down to earth what God wants us to do. John chapter 15, you know these verses. You know this passage. John 15, verse 1 through verse 5. Let me read it to you. And by the way, I still use the old King James because I'm old, okay? I mean, this book right here, I've had 39 years. The pages are pictures in my mind, so bear with me.
Just had a birthday.
You don't need to mention that. I love what Shirley did. I think a lot of you guys know what Shirley did. She couldn't find a card that said 80 on it, so she sent me two 40-year cards. I thought that was really nice. I told her, it feels so much better to be 40 the second time than to be, you know. So anyway, praise the Lord. I thank her for that. All right. I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now in verse 2 it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. It is God's intent for every Christian to bear fruit. He says, ye are the branches, we are the branches, and we need to abide in him. In other words, abiding is simply dwelling with. It's being with him on a continual basis. It's having him as your life, to live as Jesus. And so that's what abiding is. It's a life centered around Christ. And he intends for us to bear fruit. Now, I was thinking about that, and I remember that you can buy trees that have different fruit on them. One tree bears different kinds of fruit because they have grafted in branches from other fruit trees into this trunk. You see, it's the branch that determines the type of fruit, not the trunk. We get our power and energy from Christ, the Holy Spirit, but it is the type of branch that bears the type of fruit. So a Christian branch will bear a Christian fruit. Christians are to bear Christians. That's our fruit. And that's really what I wanted to get out of this. God wants us each to be a fruit bearer. Now we do that, we can do that within several places. We can do it within the church environment, or we can do it outside in the world. And really we ought to do it in both, which God intends. So there are places here in the church, like teaching Sunday school, Awana, teaching kids verses, showing them the gospel. Those are places where we bear fruit. My wife Gayla has led many of her Sunday school children to Jesus through lessons and so forth. But there's also the bearing fruit in the external world, and that's where we spend most of our time. So I think that's where God would want us to be, a fruit bearer out there. A fruit bearer. So I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 10 and use this as an example of fruit bearing. This particular passage speaks to me a lot also. You know, a lot of you know this chapter, I'm sure. This is not a new thing to most of you here. This is the story of Cornelius coming to know Jesus as his Savior. Let me read the first, I'm going to read the first six verses here. This is Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that'd be about 3 p.m, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now this man, Cornelius, he was a Roman soldier, over 100 men. He was a Gentile. In verse 2, it really describes the type of man he was. He was devout. That means he was devoted. He was religiously devoted to God. This man represents many people in the world today who believe in God and have a devotion, a religious devotion to God, but they don't know Jesus. He was a devoted man, devout man, and one that feared God, reverenced God. With all his house, he led his house in this religion, this belief in God. And he believed in the God of Israel. He didn't believe in some pagan god. This was the God of Israel he believed in, because the God of Israel heard his prayers. He gave much alms. He was a giving man, a very compassionate giving person. And he prayed to God always. Now, I've heard it said sometimes that God doesn't hear the prayer of an unsaved person, but that's not true. God hears the prayer of any sincere unsaved person. And I relate to this man Cornelius because when I was young, my parents knew God, but they didn't know Jesus. We didn't go to church. My mother taught my sisters and I about God. There is a God. And she taught us the Lord's Prayer, and that was key in my life. She taught me the Lord's Prayer because, like Cornelius, I prayed always. Every night I would pray that prayer. I couldn't hardly go to sleep without laying in bed and praying that prayer. It's a strange thing. So that prayer was key because it started me thinking about God. And I'm sure God heard my prayer, just like God heard Cornelius's prayer, because it was a sincere prayer. Well, God, who hears and sees, he answers. And he sent an angel. He sent an angel to talk to Cornelius in verse 3. And I love this because the angel said unto him, Cornelius. He called him by name. It's a very personal message. Cornelius. And you need to, you ever heard God call your name? Like, when I got saved, I thought, God called my name, you know. Now, maybe you didn't hear that. I didn't hear it with my ears. I took my hearing aids out, by the way, because I needed this. But I heard it with my spirit. But Cornelius heard this. This angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, this is for you. Cornelius was very afraid of him. But he said, your prayers, your alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God sees you. God sees you. God acknowledges you. He has seen that you want to know him better. Cornelius just did what he knew to do. We didn't know about Jesus. My mother didn't really understand the role Jesus played in God's plan of salvation. Okay, so, and that's kind of where Cornelius was. But God sent him an angel, and the angel said, go send for Peter. He dwells over here in the town of Joppa. Now, when I first read this story years ago, the first time I heard this story, it's like, why didn't the angel just tell him? You know, I mean, here's an angel from God. Why didn't he just tell Cornelius what he needed to know? Why did he still say, go send for Peter? He'll tell you what you need to know, what you need to do. Well, the reason is, I found out later, that angels have no salvation experience. They cannot be redeemed. The angels that fell with Lucifer, they are in chains of darkness awaiting the day of judgment. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. They have no redeemer. So this angel, the angels don't have a salvation experience that they can testify about. But they are messengers. They are spirits that help us. And so that's what God sent. He sent this messenger, go send for Peter. He'll tell you, because this is God's plan. God's plan is for saved people to tell unsaved people. Who will become a saved people, who will tell unsaved people. Who will become a saved people, who will tell unsaved people. And that's the cycle of bearing fruit. Okay, we the branches, we go through this cycle. And praise the Lord for that. So, while God was preparing Cornelius, God was also, now it's interesting, God was also going to prepare Peter. Here God tells Cornelius to go get Peter, and God hasn't spoken to Peter yet. Peter knows nothing about this. But God in his sovereignty and his providence already has this planned out. And so he says, go get Peter. And so Cornelius sends these two men to go to Joppa to get Peter. On the next day, they're traveling. Well, on the morrow, this is, I want to pause here just for a moment. Because while Cornelius represents an unsaved person, a godly person, but an unsaved person, Peter represents you and me. Peter represents the saved person. Okay, so he represents us. And Peter, God could use Peter because Peter was prepared to be used. Peter was prepared over a period of time. He walked with Jesus 3 years. He had heard Jesus. He had seen the miracles. He probably was there and saw him crucified. I know he denied him 3 times, but he was restored. And he saw the resurrected Lord, and he knew. On the day of Pentecost, in chapter 2 of Acts, it was Peter who testified of Jesus. And Peter not only testified of Jesus, Peter quoted Old Testament scripture. He quoted out of Joel chapter 2, and he quoted out of Psalms chapter 16. So he had memorized scripture. Now that's why I put down at the bottom of that little bulletin, I put these Romans verses, because that's part of preparation. You see, I think on your paper I had the 3 P's. Let's see if I got it here. The 3 P's of bearing fruit. Let me give those to you. It's prayer, preparation, and presentation. Prayer, preparation, and presentation. Now, we've already seen the prayer in Cornelius' life. We'll see it in Peter's here in a minute. But God uses prepared Christians. Prepared Christians. Those branches, when they're trimmed and pruned and stuff, that prepares them to bear more fruit. So God uses prepared Christians. I know shortly after I was saved, I began memorizing scripture because I had this question in my mind. I had this kind of concern. I said, what if somebody who's dying asks me how they could know they're going to heaven? What if I came upon a car accident and somebody was dying and they were taking their last few minutes of breath and I was there and they said, how can I go to heaven? And I thought, and my parents, I was the first one in my family to be saved. I had a whole family that was not saved. It's like, how can I tell them? How can I tell them how to go to heaven? So I began memorizing scripture. Those are the scriptures I have down at the bottom of the page. These are some of the basic scriptures. And a lot of you know these already, but if you don't, I would recommend that you do. Okay? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 and 9, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 10:9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's one time when you ought to follow your heart, okay? With the heart. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, follow that. John 3:16, y'all know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And 1 John 5:11 to 13, I love this. This is one of my favorite passages. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I memorized those scripture, and I was prepared, mostly. Well, anyway, I was, after I got out of the Air Force, I was working for Idaho Power, and I was sitting at my desk, and I'd get to work early of a morning, and I had a little Bible, and I would read a little Bible. About, you know, I'd get there maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes before work, and so I'd read that. Well, one morning I was looking at my Bible, and an elderly gentleman came up to me, and he said, I see you read your Bible every morning. I said, yeah, and he said, you must know something about God. I said, yeah, a little. We all know a little about God. But he told me, he said that he had cancer, and he didn't know if he would go to heaven. And I took him that morning, and right there, that morning, we went off to a quiet, kind of a quiet area, and I showed him all the scriptures, and he trusted in Jesus Christ that morning. God uses prepared Christians. We need to prepare. Prepare. My family wasn't saved. God has given me the privilege of leading 8 of my family to the Lord, and a lot of other people. I have wonderful stories to tell about how God works. God works. God, this is God's heart. This is what it's about. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? That's what he does. Well, anyway, so here's Peter. Now, he sent for Peter. Now, this is how God had to prepare Peter. We would think Peter would be totally prepared. Look at what all Peter had done. He'd already testified of him. He'd quoted scripture. But there was still a problem with Peter, and there's still a problem with a lot of us, and I include myself. Here, let me read verse 9, and I'll read down through 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, these are the men that Cornelius has sent, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, that'd be about noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, not, no, no, no. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, you know the Jewish teaching about that. This is religious teaching. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that calleth not thou common. This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Just a minute. Thank you. So God was showing, Peter had this religious teaching about not eating certain animals, unclean animals. But God was showing that the things were different. Things were different. God really intended Israel to be a light to the world. God didn't intend Israel to be totally isolated and never show God. They were supposed to show God to the world. Well, Peter had this vision. While he was praying, see, prayer is very important. When we pray, God talks to us. If we're quiet and listen. Sometimes we talk so much that God can't get a word in. But, you know, sometimes we need to be kind of quiet and listen while we're praying. Because God does speak to our spirit. He does. Well, anyway, God spoke to him. He showed him this vision and said, kill and eat. Eat this. Eat any of this. I'm calling it clean now. It says up here that Peter doubted in himself what this vision should mean. What does this mean? Now, here's the problem Peter had. Peter had a prejudice. He had a prejudice that God had to overcome so that he could be used of God to bring Cornelius to salvation in Jesus. And we have that problem. I have that problem. I had some prejudice. I've gotten over some of my prejudice since I moved to Missouri. Thank you, Pastor Josh. And thank you. Because we have some religious teaching that has caused some bias and some prejudice. Now, there are certain things that we ought to be prejudiced about, but there are things that that are not troubling to God at all. And we ought to say, okay, like, I get it, God. It's people that God cares about. It's not the food. The food wasn't the object here. And we see that over here in verse 28, Peter said, in the last part, he said, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter had a prejudice against Gentiles. He had this religious teaching. And there's all kinds of prejudice, all kinds of religious teachings. There's prejudice against, I always forget my notes, against ethnic groups, prejudice against, even prejudice against generations. Young and old, old and young, those are all, okay? We're all level with God. All right, so anyway, Peter had this prejudice that God had to clear up in his life. And we need to, if God reveals a prejudice to you that you have, give it up. Give it over to God, okay? And in prayer, God will reveal these things. He's revealed some things to me. All right. So here's Peter. Now, in verse 19, I'm going to take you to verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Holy Spirit spoke to him while he was meditating on that vision. And he said, these men are coming for you. See, God prepares both ends. God prepares the person that needs to be saved, and God prepares the person that will tell them how to be saved. God's doing both things here. And so Peter went with them. Now, I'm going to give you a little story here about the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day. When my wife and I lived in Idaho, I got a phone call from my mother one night. And she said, and my mother wasn't saved at this time. She said, Don, my dad, your grandpa, is in the hospital, and they don't know if he's going to make it or not. Now, he was 89 years old at that time. And I said, Mom, I knew Grandpa didn't know Jesus. I said, Mom, I've got to call a pastor there in Lincoln. I was in Idaho, she was in Lincoln, he was in Lincoln. I said, I've got to call a pastor I know in Lincoln and have him go up and visit Grandpa and tell him about Jesus. And she said, now she's not saved, and Baptists don't have a good name up in Nebraska. She said, oh no, don't do that. She said, he'll get him all riled up and he'll have a heart attack and die right there. And I said, no, Mom, I've got to. And she said, no, don't do that. Don't, you promise me that you won't call somebody. You promise me. I said, no, Mom, I got to. And she said, no. And she said, you promise me, you promise me. So finally I gave in. I said, okay, I won't call anybody. And I got off the phone, and the Holy Spirit just jumped on me with both feet. I mean, it was like, oh, what have you done? What's more important, the eternal soul of your grandfather or this promise to your mother? What's more important? And so I told Gail, I said, I can't keep that promise. Could you keep that promise? I can't keep that promise. So I tried to call this pastor in the church where I had gotten saved. I tried to call him. He wasn't there. No answer. So I thought, okay, I know a deacon in that church. So I tried to call that deacon, and I got no answer. So I'm thinking, oh boy, two strikes. And then I thought, I know a man who works for Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Some of you might remember that broadcast. His name is Reverend Peterson. He's a very gentle, kind man. He's the father of a friend of mine there in Lincoln. I said, I'm going to call him. And so I called Reverend Peterson, and he answered the phone. And I told him about my grandfather being in the hospital. And I said, now, Reverend Peterson, he said Reverend Peterson said he'd go up and see him the next day. And I said, you tell my grandfather that his grandson, Don, loves him. He said, okay, I'll tell him that. And so we got off the phone with Reverend Peterson. I called my mother back. I told her I couldn't keep the promise. I said, Grandpa's eternal soul is more important. And she wasn't happy. But that was that. So when I hung up with Mom, Gail and I got on our knees and we prayed. And in my prayer, I said, now, God, I said, when Reverend Peterson goes up to see Grandpa, make it so that the room, there's no visitors there, that the room's empty, so that it's just him and Grandpa, so that he can tell him about Jesus. And so we waited. A couple days later, Reverend Peterson called me back, and he said, Don, I went up and saw your Grandpa, and he said, when I went in there, the room was totally empty. There wasn't anybody in there, just your Grandpa and I. And I'm thinking, answered prayer. And he said, I sat down and I talked to your grandpa, and we talked and talked. And he said, I just couldn't get the conversation turned around to God. And then I remembered what you told me. And he said, when I told him that his grandson Don loved him, he said the ice just broke. And he said, we talked about God. He said, I presented the gospel to him, and your grandpa trusted Jesus as his personal Savior. And he said, when I was leaving that room, your grandpa said, I had been laying here wondering how to get right with God. I mean, God works on both ends. He works on both ends. That was a great testimony to my mother, who wasn't saved, but that was a great testimony. She got saved later on. So God does that, and we need to learn to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, nudges you, follow it. And it's hard to do sometimes. But anyway, so everything's ready. Cornelius has invited his family and his friends because he knows Peter is coming to tell us what we need to do, what we ought to do. So in verse 33 now, we had the prayer, we had the preparation, and now we have the presentation. Verse 33, immediately thereafter, I sent to thee, this is Cornelius talking, And thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And here's where Peter starts the presentation. And this is the hard part for us sometimes, but Peter did it. Then Peter opened his mouth right there. And sometimes we just need to open our mouth, okay, and present the gospel. So everything is ready. Verse 34. Now, as we walk through Peter's little presentation here, we'll see certain things. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." No, he's not. God wants all people to be saved. Every person is an eternal soul that needs Jesus. Jesus died for every person. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And thank God for Israel, because it's through Israel that we got the word of God and we got our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and Peter's just expounding that to this Gentile. Verse 37, "The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." Now he's expounding these factual truths. And that's what, this is our part. This is our part of bearing fruit. It's to know the scriptures, know these truths, and to expound them. "How God anointed Jesus," I'm in verse 38, "of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." That's the sinless life of Jesus. "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree." There's the crucifixion of Jesus. But it doesn't end there. And here's the resurrection. "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." That's verse 40. And that's the gospel. Crucified on the cross for us, for our sin. "But God commendeth his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Crucified for us, but God raised him up. And he's risen for our justification, the Bible says. Anyway, verse 41, "not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick, the living and the dead." Now let me stop there a minute. That command is to us as well. We are to preach. It was given to the apostles, but it's given to us, the church, the people that make up the church. Anyway, well, here's the verse I was going to give you a verse here. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I just wanted to bring that out, because that's our circle of responsibility. Okay, that's our responsibility. Now, Peter has done his responsibility. And here's verse 43. This is kind of the final thing. This is what I call the invitation. The invitation, because it has the word "whosoever believeth" in it. Verse 43, "to him giveth all the prophets witness," okay, bringing out the support of the scripture, "that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." There's the invitation. It's to whosoever believeth in him, through his name, through his name. And here's where the Holy Spirit takes over. This is God's part. We don't save anybody. We bear the fruit, but God produces the fruit. And here's where the Holy Spirit takes over. Verse 44, "while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were amazed, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Now you notice the order. They heard the word. The Holy Spirit worked in their heart. They received the Holy Spirit. That means they were saved. And then they were baptized. Now this speaking in tongues, that was for that time period, because the New Testament, we didn't have it. That was for the apostolic time period when the church was its infancy, and that was a sign unto these Jews who were amazed. Whoa, the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles as well as us. Wow. That's what that's about. But that's where the Holy Spirit does his work. My mother, later on, she got cancer, and she would have me come over and read the Bible to her. Now, she still wasn't saved, but I would read the Bible, and one night I was reading the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." And she stopped me. I was just reading the Bible, and she just grabbed me. I can remember her grabbing me, and she said, "Don, I don't have the Spirit of Christ." You see, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. The Holy Spirit did his work. And I said, "Mom, you can receive Jesus right now as your personal Savior." And she did. She got down on her knees, and we prayed, and she invited Jesus into her heart to be her personal Savior. And she got saved. And right away she said, "I want your dad to do this." Because when you get saved, you want your loved ones to be saved. And I know a lot of you have loved ones. I have loved ones that I still and pray for, want them to be saved. But God works. The Holy Spirit does his work. And we have the privilege of working together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." God has given us this ministry. And it's for everyone. We are the branches. We are the branches. We determine the fruit. God wants us to produce Christians. He'll make the fruit if we'll do our part. We'll do our part. So I would just encourage you to prepare, learn verses. Many of you probably already have. Many of you maybe have led people to Jesus. I hope so. We do that. We spend most of our day out in the world. I led a couple men at work to the Lord, and God opens those opportunities. If you're prepared, he'll open the opportunity. If you're not prepared, he can't. But if we prepare, he'll open the opportunities, and we will see fruit, much fruit for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to invite, I don't know people's hearts here today. I know a lot of you know Jesus as your Savior. But there may be somebody here who doesn't. Somebody who is like Cornelius, who is devoted to God, has heard about Jesus, but has never really taken him, put your faith in him. Whosoever believeth in him, not about him, but in him. That's what it's about. If you want to do that today, you put your faith in Jesus. Just do it where you are. Invite him to be your personal Savior. But if you do that, please come up and tell me afterwards. If you want to see more scripture about it, I'll just sit over here by this prayer door, and I'll sit over there, and I'll be glad to show you scripture. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, and we thank you, dear God, because you have given us a ministry here on earth. You have given each one of us the wonderful privilege of working with you, of being joint laborers with you. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to see people come to know Jesus. There's no better joy to see people saved. Father, thank you for this church. This is a church that wants people to know Jesus. This is a church that cares about people coming to Jesus, a church that reaches out into the community. And Lord, as a church, we just thank you. But on an individual basis, we each have that responsibility too. So God, help each one of us. Help us prepare. Help us to pray. And Lord, when you open the opportunity, help us to present your truth. And we just thank you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.